It is our heart's cry that we would just seek after one thing in every single one of our lives, that we would just want to know you. God, that we would want to make you known. God, that is our heart's cry tonight. And so I pray that these students tonight would take the passion that we just sang, that song, God, and I pray that they would take that same energy and focus it right now on your word. God, I pray for Bron right now that's going to speak. I pray that you would remove him tonight, that you would use him as a vessel tonight, God, that you would just speak through him. I pray that we would receive your words well tonight, God, that you would just speak to all of us. And God, I pray that tonight we would all leave here changed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, it has been a little while since I've gotten to share with you guys, and I am really pumped about the word the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. I'll tell you a quick story. There was a guy named Rule Shepherd, a guy that was in my small group when I was in Conway, my first couple years of ministry. And Rule was an African-American kid, great athlete, great kid, humble, loved Christ, just a great kid. And I can remember him inviting me to his church. And he said, "Hey, Bron, I want you to come and hang out with me at his church." And I knew that his church liked to go from about 10 till 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Okay, it was a long gig. You think Todd can speak long? These folks could go a long time. But one thing I remembered about going to churches like his was that the choir was so great, typically. And I remember going and listening to the choir, and I was going, this was awesome. And this guy got up and started to teach. And back in my day, a guy named Arsenio Hall. Do you guys know Arsenio Hall? Do you know that name? Anyone? Okay, just our leaders like, woo, 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 woo. Okay, Arsenio had this talk show for a little while, and he was in a movie called Coming to America, and he would be a lot of times with Eddie Murphy, and he would do this African-American pastor impersonation. And it was always kind of like, "Everybody got a cause." That's how he'd talk like that, okay? And it was just kind of this lingo that they would do, and it was so funny because I'd heard him do that, and I get to the church, and this guy starts teaching, and that's how he sounded, okay? And I was like, "It's Arsenio Hall," and I remember listening to this guy, and I don't remember exactly what he was teaching, but I remember him saying this one line, and he said, he goes, "We're all statues in the vineyard," like that, you know? And I was like, "I don't know what that means, but I like the way you say it," and I remember him going over to his seat, and he said, "That's all I got to say," like that. And he had this hanky, and he was kind of dabbing his face because he'd been sweating and moving around and jumping around. He got over to the seat, and he said, "That's all I got to say." And he goes, "Oh, the Holy Spirit won't let me sit down." And he kept going. And I was dying laughing. It was like the seat had this hot, burning sensation. When his tush hit the seat, it was like, "Oh," and his feet came together, and he went right back up. Taught for 10 more minutes, okay, because the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him sit down. And, you know, I don't know really what was going on with him. That might have been a show. I would think it probably was. I don't know that the Holy Spirit works through our buttocks by burning it on the seat. But I'll just tell you, I was thinking about that as I thought about the word that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart, is that I was wondering with you guys, when's the last time you felt compelled by the Spirit to do something? And maybe that's a show, and that's a kind of a false sense of that. But I believe there's a lot of times in our lives that God wants us to move in under the direction of His Spirit, and we don't do it. And I want us to be young people, even at your age, in 9th grade, in 10th grade, 11th and 12th grade. I wonder when the last time you'd say, "Man, I just was so compelled by the Spirit, moved by the Spirit of the Lord, that I was obedient, and I did whatever it was the Lord laid on your heart." I'm struggling with that right now. I'm reading through Acts on the Journey. I don't know if you guys are reading that. And I'm watching the guys in Acts over and over do stuff because the Spirit was leading them. And here's what I believe. I believe the Spirit still wants to work in our lives. He wants to lead us. But I don't know if we're very good listeners anymore. And so I'd ask you tonight to really ask yourself, man, when was the last time I was compelled by the Spirit to respond a certain way, to act a certain way? And we're going to look tonight at the scripture where Paul and Silas responded to some really hard circumstances, really hard ones, and they had great joy about them. And you know, here's the reason I think they could do that, because they were in the presence of the Lord. You know, I kind of put this time to sing on the American Idol kind of backdrop that we were doing earlier, because I believe that God wants us to sing, our lives to sing to others in the midst of tough circumstances. The easiest time for us to be great representatives of Christ is when everything's going great, right? We all love the Lord when everything's going great. But when times are hard, I think the most compelling thing for people to see is that when we go through tough circumstances, that people look at us and go, there's no reason for you to have joy except for the fact that you know Jesus and you walk with him. And I would wonder about you guys. I'd wonder about me sometimes. Is your life singing to others that in the midst of hard circumstances, and I know we all have different circumstances that are hard and tough, but in your latest trial, did your life sing for your security in Christ? Did it sing for the joy you have in him? Because I'm looking at my life just this weekend, and I'm doing projects around the house, and that's one of the toughest times for my life to sing. Our leaders know that about me. I am the world's worst handyman. And today I was trying to get this plug to go in the wall. I was changing. That's switching and changing. It's a new word. I was changing plugs, and I was taking them out and trying to get them locked in, and it wouldn't go in there. And I just was getting so frustrated. I was laid out there, kind of thing. My kids love that. They're like, don't hang around Dad right now. But I was trying, and even in the midst of there's my tough circumstance, and I would say, man, my life wasn't singing for who Christ is. So that's a small example, right? But we get opportunities all the time. You know, some of us didn't make the team this year. Some of us missed the big shot. Some of us, maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with us. Maybe it's, we're not the most popular. Maybe it's, hey, things just aren't going right for us. And we're going through some, maybe you're from a family that your parents are not doing good. Maybe they're divorced. Maybe, I don't know. What's the circumstance right now? And here's what I want to tell you. When we're walking with Christ, when we're really in his presence, what I'm learning from studying Paul in Acts and in 2 Timothy that I'm going through with my guys, there's just a sense of when Paul was in the presence of the Lord, tough times really didn't matter. And wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love to live that way? Wouldn't you love it if, man, times are really tough, but I'm going to tell you what, Jesus is still the same. The scripture tells us that. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to fill you in on a story from Acts 16 tonight that really struck me. And I'm going to start you out just by telling you a quick paraphrase of this. There was a girl that was prophesying over people, and she had a spirit in her. It wasn't a good spirit. It wasn't a spirit from the Lord. It was a spirit from the enemy, okay? And she was prophesying over people, and these guys that owned her were making lots of money off of her. And all of a sudden, she was following Paul and Silas around, and she's telling people, even what she was saying wasn't bad. She's saying these guys are from the Lord and all this. But Paul knew the spirit that was in her wasn't from Christ. Okay? And so finally it says Paul gets so bothered and he said, look, I cast out that spirit that's with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the spirit leaves her. And guess what? Her owners, who were making a lot of bank off of her, a lot of coin off this girl, they decided they were pretty upset about that. And so I want you to hear we'll pick it up right there. When the owners of the slave girl, in verse 19, when the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them there before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept the practice. Let's move on. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been beaten, severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Okay, let me throw one thing out there you need to learn right here from the scripture. People that tell you that when I obey God and I do the right thing, that blessing's always going to come, here's your example. Okay, Paul and Silas do the right thing. They send this spirit out of this girl, and does that look like blessing? Okay. They're stripped, beaten, flogged, and put in jail. And then their feet are put in the stocks. Okay? So any of us that think, hey, sometimes, I want to tell you this. Let me just break that paradigm for you. Sometimes when you're obedient, it's going to cost you. Okay? You guys know that. Some of you guys you've taken a stance for Christ, and it's not been easy. People have rejected you. People have ridiculed you, all that kind of thing. So this is a great example. And you know what? What I just want to tell you, if this had happened to me, and you guys put yourself in Paul and Silas's case, if it had happened to you, I think Lord and I would have been having a long conversation. You agree? You getting that? If you'd been flogged and beaten, all of a sudden you're in jail, I don't think I would have been going, man, God, thank you so much. This is awesome. I think I would be having an honest conversation with the Lord, going, Lord, what is up? I just was doing what I'm here ministering to people. I just cast the spirit out of this girl, got her in a better situation, got these guys who are wanting money, and all of a sudden I take a beating, I've been flogged, I'm in jail. What's up? Okay, that's how I would respond. Let's look and see how Paul responded. Look at the next verses. About midnight, I love this, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, think about your last trial. Think about the last hard thing that you went through. Were you singing to God? Were you thanking Him, going, Lord, you write my story. You know what's up. I'm just going to praise you in the middle of this. I'm going to tell you, the only way that they could do this, y'all, is because they were walking in the presence of the Lord. I love, look at 2 Timothy 4 sometime. The first thing it says, Paul in the presence of God. And guess what? Paul's in jail again there when he's writing that. But in the presence of God, he's you know, encouraging people, spurring people, talking about Jesus. That's the deal. That's the difference. Those of us who are not walking in the presence of God, those who are not really spending time with the Lord, don't have a relationship with Him, don't expect that you're going to be like Christ. You will not sing in times of trouble. You'll be like everybody else. You'll complain. You'll go, Lord, I can't believe you did this to me. You'll blame God. I'll do it too if I'm not walking with God. And what I love there is it says they were singing hymns to God, and then look, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know why they were listening? Because they just watched these guys come in that had been flogged and beaten and put in stocks, and they go, what is up? These guys are singing and praying. Do you see how that would stand out in prison? And here's what I want to tell you. There are prisoners all around you at your school that don't know Jesus. And I'm going to tell you why they're prisoners. Because before you came to know Christ, you were a prisoner to your own sin. You were caught and snared in that, the scripture says. Okay, so there's people all around you. And I want you to know, if I could give you an encouragement, man, walk with Christ so that your life sings to all these prisoners around you. And guess what? They'll go, I want to listen to what's going on in your life. You have an opportunity. There are prisoners all around. There are prisoners who are listening. And so I just want you to think about that, man. And notice, and here's what I want you to think about. There's a great opportunity in front of me. If I will be in the presence of the Lord, no matter what circumstance comes up, when you're in the presence of the Lord, circumstances don't matter anymore. They really don't. Now you're going, wait a minute, Brian, you mean we can always have joy? I don't believe that. Yes, it may not be an incredible joy. You're going, boy, this is great. But you can actually sing to God because you've got, you're in control. You've got this. You know me. One day, I know what happens at the end. I win because I know you and I get to go be with you. It's an incredible deal. Now look what happens here from there on. It says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, we're all here. You guys, does that strike you again? Okay, first of all, he's singing right after he's been beaten. And he's praying. And then look what he does here. The doors fly open. And not only did he respond differently, but the people who were in prison. If the prison doors fly open and you're in prison, you're going to bolt, right? I mean, you'd go, man, I want to be free. And you'd want to get out of there. And you know why they didn't? I'm going to tell you why they didn't. Because they stayed put because they saw God was at work. You see that? They go, man, this is too different. This is too good. I'm tasting and seeing what the Lord is doing in the lives of these guys, and I got to stick around. Even though I could run and got freedom temporarily, I may sense real freedom here with God. And you know what else is crazy about that? You know how else I know Paul is in the presence of the Lord and Silas? Because who does he think about right off the bat? The jailer. The one that's keeping him in there. The one that's holding him captive, and he goes, don't harm yourself. My flesh would go, hey, man, do what you want. if that was the guy that was holding me captive, I don't think I'd be too worried about it. But I love that. So you see, in the presence of the Lord, you can sing in the midst of tough circumstances. In the presence of the Lord, when you're walking with others, are going to listen. And then what else you see is that you're going to be about others. And you know what? I cannot do that. I can't even be about my own kids without the presence of the Lord. I certainly can't be about my own wife, who I love more than any woman in this world. I can't be about her. Todd said it really great today when he said, look, this is a supernatural deal. This was obviously a supernatural deal, right? I mean, doors were flying open and all that. But what's even more supernatural is Paul going, don't harm yourself, we're all here, that no one left. It's incredible. And then look what happens. The jailer called for the lights. He rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Wouldn't you love it? I mean, that I would love that question. I'd love for somebody to go, man, I was watching you and listening to you. I watched you all day today. Hey, what must I do to be saved? Because I know you're saved. I know you know Jesus. Wouldn't that be incredible? And I'm going to tell you, I think God wants to do that. I think he wants us to live lives that shine like that. Lives that sing like that. That's what he wants. But I think the problem is that we're not listening. And the problem is we're deceived by everything else, thinking there's life there. My wife and I just got back not too long ago from a trip to Costa Rica. Okay, we've rarely been on any trip like this. Okay, like never. And we got to go to Costa Rica, and it was an incredible deal. We got to go with the Sheltons. We all actually got kind of won a trip. It was an amazing deal. And we got to go down there, and I tell you what I prayed before I left, and I meant this. I just said, Lord, however great this trip is, would you just protect me from thinking that there's life there that's greater than life with you? And I really meant it. And we stayed at a really nice place. We were on a beautiful beach. We were in a beautiful place. We were overlooking the ocean. It was top-notch. But I can remember sitting out there, and the waiter that we had at this Italian place that we went to a couple nights, he didn't speak really good English. And every time when it came to the dessert, he'd say, now it's time for the sweetest part of the meal, like that. And I was like, okay, that's kind of your catch line that you want us to buy dessert. And I thought, you know, when he said that, I wrote that in my journal because I remember thinking, Lord, remind me, the sweetest part of the meal in life is you. There's nothing sweeter than knowing you, Jesus, and I don't want to be deceived by any other desserts the world puts out there. I just don't want to be. And so that was my prayer the whole trip. And I'm going to tell you what was really cool. When we left, I was ready to get back. And I had a great time. And I'm saying you shouldn't enjoy those trips. It was great. But I remember this one guy, we were on a boat trip, and this guy was out on the front. He goes, this is the life, isn't it? And I wanted to go, no, it's not. And I pushed him over. No, but he said that so clearly. He was like, this is the life, you know, and I wanted to go. And he was this older guy that was tan. And, you know, I've never had a tan before in my life, and so it was cool. But I just thought, this guy thinks this is life, and I go, this isn't it. If that was all there is, now I wanted to enjoy it, you know, because it was fun and it was great and it was beautiful out there and God created all that, but I don't want to give my heart to that. Because some people live for, hey, I can't wait till I get to go take that trip and then I'll be okay. And so, you know, 6-7 days out of the year, they're doing great, and the rest of the days they're just waiting for the next trip. That's a sad life. And I don't want to live that. The last thing I would tell you is this. Here's what I believe. If you want your life to sing, you have got to be young women and young men who are really pursuing Christ. And I mean that. You go, Bron, hey, no brainer, we get it. But here's the question. Are you doing it? Are you spending time with the Lord? Because there's no shortcuts. Todd spoke about a guy named Tom Raley today that one thing he shared about him that was really cool at the men's breakfast, he said he was on a Young Life trip. And Tom was in there, and a guy that ministered to a lot of Young Life guys, and they were up to like 11 o'clock, and he goes, guys, I got to turn it in because I got to catch a flight at 5 in the morning. And he said, but I got to go to bed now because I've made a deal with God that 30 minutes at bed before I go to sleep, I'm going to spend time with him, and an hour when I get up. And he goes, here's the problem. I got to catch a plane at 5. I got to be at the airport at 5. It's 11 now. So they said finally he kind of went back to his room at 11:30. They watched his light stay on till midnight. Light went off. Okay, they're up messing around, goofing around, being what, you know, young college guys do or whatever. And then at 3:30, the light comes on. They're still up. His light comes on. Spends time with the Lord. Leaves. Here's a guy that got, what, 3.5 hours sleep there or whatever? And here's what I'm not, here's what I want you to hear. Hear the heart behind that. The heart is, are you willing, do you long to be with the Savior? Because here's the deal. If you do, if you will, that's the only way your life's going to sing. Hold my calls. It's the only way that your life is going to be different. Okay? So, and I'm going to tell you, my life, I wish it was easier than that. There were so many times when I go, Lord, couldn't I just do like a 2-minute deal and do the cliff notes of the Bible and, you know, cliff notes of the people in the Spirit and all that? And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so if I'm going to spur you this week, I'm going to ask you to spend some time with Christ. And you know why? Because it will not only save you, but it will save your hearers as well. I love 1 Timothy 4 that talks about us watching our life and our doctrine closely, because we'll not only save ourselves, but our hearers as well. And it says for them to see your progress, them to see something different about your life, see your life sing in the midst of hard circumstances. What I know is true this week, some of you are all going to hit some hard times. I may too. And I pray that in the midst of that, people would see our lives sing in the middle of that. And they go, man, I want to know about that Jesus. What must I do to be saved? Let me pray for you. God, thanks. It is a great pleasure to speak about you. And Lord, I just speak up here tonight from a guy who's trying to just gain ground, a guy who wants to know you more. And Lord, I just confess that the littlest of circumstances have thrown me off of my joy this week. Little things, nothing like being put in jail or beaten or any of those things. And Lord, I don't know what's going on with each student here, but they may have some real hurts tonight. And I pray that you would just draw them to your side. You draw them to real presence, real pursuit of you. Because Lord, here's the thing, we're missing out on opportunities. As Ephesians 5 says, seize the opportunity around us, for the days are evil. And I pray that we would be lights, that our lives would sing, and that others would hear your song, and they'd want to know you. Thank you for a chance to walk with you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.